We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Hope you're having a great Friday, or Thursday, should I say. Tomorrow is Friday, and the Falcons have yet to hire their general manager, but that could happen. I don't believe it's going to happen before next week under the circumstances with this big front that's going to hit the country.
So no GM on Tuesday?
I don't think so, Mike. But listen, they could make an announcement tomorrow, maybe whoever that person is going to be, but they are continuing this interview process. Day-Day, real quick, you were just telling me we just got word they finished up an interview with who?
They've actually submitted their request for Joe Douglas of the Jets.
Former Jets GM.
Yeah, former Jets GM.
Now, he comes from Philly.
He was a Roseman guy.
He was a Howie Roseman guy. So, again, that's why everybody with the Jets were so excited. What they didn't know is he wouldn't be able to overcome ownership. And, again, that's him and Robert Saleh who were there. Saleh's now with Tennessee.
Right.
Okay, so they've requested. And that's what we're saying, Mike. I think they're going to continue to talk to all these people. And I don't think we're going to get a hire probably before the end of next week, if that, and maybe if not before the Super Bowl.
The Falcons interviewed the Texans assistant GM, James Lipfert. He was a former Tech backup linebacker, played for, I believe, Chan Gailey, then Paul Johnson. That's for the GM job, Carl. So he's a guy involved with college, kind of what Dimitroff was with the Patriots as part of his job description. What they've put together on that field, I wouldn't hate the idea of a guy, and maybe a guy that wouldn't have a problem being a little subservient to Matt Ryan with that GM job.
Did you say submissive?
Subservient.
Oh, my bad.
Hey, get Freudian slip. What are you doing tonight?
That's what you said. Listen, I want a guy to Matt's point that's going to come in and do GM things, whatever those things are. I hear you, though. I do think this is going to be a first-time general manager. I don't know. Like a guy like Joe Douglas who's done it now. And I think, Mike, you would probably have a lot stronger opinions from a guy that's done it versus a guy that is a first-time general manager and is coming into this current structure.
Matt said he's going to let these guys cook, but if
it was me, I'm going to tell you, I would hire experience.
There was, and we played some audio earlier. You heard the story about Pegula, the push and pull between McDermott and the general manager in Buffalo, the same stuff happening. Like this goes on and on forever, you know? And the fact that our guy, Stefanski, our new head coach, is basically saying, Cleveland was so messed up, I'm running it back in Atlanta. I'm going to show you this, what happens when you get better talent. You know? And by the way, can I drop the special teams knowledge?
Yes, you can.
We had abysmal special teams. We talked about Marquise Williams every week with Raheem Morris. Well, look at the tape. Try to make things better. Look at the tape. Try to get it. It never improved.
No, it did not.
Kadarrell Hodge was a Pro Bowler. He got benched at one point. You know, bad field position, giving up big returns. There's no specific stats on how many fumbles, but I found just looking at headlines and searching on Google, tons of turnovers on the Browns special teams. Reason I bring this up is apparently they're going to bring Bubba Vetrone, who was their special teams coach, along. That has not been confirmed yet, but if you're bringing the rest of your staff, we're going to bring a special teams coach whose team was about as bad as we were. We were dead last, guys, in yards allowed on punts and kicks. The Browns were the 28th worst. Field position, I'm looking at the stats. It's basically, it paints a picture of a special teams unit that was just slightly better than ours, and we were the worst in the league.
Yeah.
So that gives me pause.
No, that doesn't bode well. That is an area that cannot be an excuse again next year. It was a convenient excuse when we continued to question, you know, Ra about why he wasn't moving on from the special teams coach. To this day, Mike, we still really don't know why, unless he knew halfway through the season he was getting got and didn't want to fire anybody else. I don't know.
But remember, this is the guy that he stood up for, apparently, when he was getting heat. I got enough of those, like, you know, post-traumatic Falcons special teams disorder from last year. I don't want to go down this road again in 26.
Yeah, we'll wait to see, but that is interesting, and here's the reason why that matters. Again, if you're just going to run the band back, right, and it feels that way with Tommy Rees, which we'll talk about here in a second, and we'll let you hear what Ken Carman said about Kevin Stefanski and Rees being together here in Atlanta, because it may be an indictment on how bad it is and was in Cleveland. But I do feel like that is a big hire. Just as I said with the OC, and look, if it feels like, and to me it does, that Kevin's going to call these plays, Mike, and he'll be the main guy working with our quarterback, even though Tommy will have a role and do what he needs to do. The OC role or title is just that. It's title. It's not necessarily, you know, calling plays and running the offense. That's fine. They got a partnership. I'm okay with that. I just need accountability. I need to know who's working with our quarterback and how he's going to get better. Now, with that said, let's hear Ken Carman. He's up there in Cleveland. We had him on last Friday before the hire took place, and he laid out everything for us. But he said, look, Stefanski and Reese together in Atlanta. What's it say to him? Listen to this.
But he's telling you with all these moves, and you are as right as you could possibly be. He is telling you with these moves, he is telling you that Andrew Berry is in charge of this mess. That, and whether or not that, we don't even know if that's right or not, by the way. That's not drawing a conclusion. Because Michael Penix could be down there, and who knows what Kirk Cousins is going to do. And they could go down there, and they could look as just as inept as we've been talking about here over the last couple of years. Now, they got Bijan Robinson. I don't know what they have with all the other ones. I mean, they got weapons. You got Drake. You got the tight end. Like, you got guys that you could possibly work with. But if that thing goes out there and fails, we could look at it and go, boy, this was a true partnership. These were true thought partners in disaster with this football team. That actually can be put out there. So I'm not drawing a conclusion in January that it was all Andrew's fault because we're not doing well with the coaching search and we're not feeling well about the coaching search.
The coaching search for them is going terrible. Two guys have basically pulled out who we thought were front runners to get the job. We don't know why. So that's why he's saying it feels like people are, that there's a word kind of circulating about this Cleveland job and what's going on. Meanwhile, Stefanski lands here on his feet and he's like, hey, I'm bringing my guys with me. I think it is an indictment to what I believe and what I think can work, Mike, will if I am supported correctly and I am allowed to be in on some of these player decisions. And it's not just Andrew Berry making these decisions and saying, hey, now coach him up. Because it feels like that's what happened with this quarterback thing. Well, you need a quarterback. We're going to draft one. We're going to draft two. We're going to bring in a free agent. We're going to bring in, you figure it out. Right. Like, that is how that went down. And so when Ken says, hey, is this Stefanski and Reese thing in Atlanta, this is really, maybe this is an indictment on what's going on here. I think it is.
Right. So now, you know, we wait, and all you can go by is what, you know, what was Reese? You know, I mean, I had a guy hit me up yesterday on Twitter going, you know, what Tommy Reese did at Alabama has no bearing on what he's doing in the NFL. Well, you know, your philosophy is your philosophy. How you handle the game pressure. Remember, like, I'm not making this stuff up. You can just Google Tommy Reese Alabama and see what you get. You know, a lot of folks felt that Nick kind of made a mistake in bringing him from Notre Dame. But this gets back to, it's a friggin' chicken and the egg. We're going to be doing this argument for a long time this offseason. Because until we see it with our guy,
yep. And
who is our guy? Will be Penix ready? Right? Penix going to be ready?
Penix will be ready.
Okay.
I hope.
I got a 1% chance that it's Cousins, and then everything else is the dreaded tweeners. You know, those, you know, retreads out there.
Well, let's be clear, though. If you told me Kirk was coming back for a smaller amount, restructured deal, obviously they're going to release him for the cap ramifications. Mike, I'm not mad about that.
Right, but I don't think Kirk signs on for five games.
I don't either. But it gives you a foundation, and you don't have to rush Michael Penix back. That's the other part of it. Like, this fear, like, if we don't have him back by October, you know, the season's doomed, and you don't have to rush him back. And I wouldn't either, by the way. Mm. Because if you don't know after this season what he is, we got a problem.
That's where the rubber hits the road. Penix Jr., what, you know, again, I don't want to rehash, you guys all saw it, because Zach Robinson gets, and again, two guys, as Carl said, with axes to grind.
That's right.
Baker's like, I'll be ready for you, coach. Twice,
sir.
And Zach Robinson, and you know, I was on JP's show, our buddy down in Tampa today, talking about, I go, look, good things. Zach was the OC when Cousins threw for 509 yards. That's a season, that's a game record for this franchise. But he wasn't able to get Penix good to go. They screwed up Penix Jr. from not having him, all the stuff we talked about, Carl. Under center, preseason, on the sideline. That's why Reem's not here. But I think with Kirk Cousins, and we saw it at the end of the season, Zach's better with a guy that knows what he's doing. He can't help a guy who's still learning through his way. So you could make the argument, Baker and those designed rollouts, Baker, would, you know, they still have some weapons there. You know, that could be pretty potent. I mean, Cousins and him, until Cousins got hurt, you know, Cousins was living a pretty charmed life.
Yes, he was.
Two times he was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Yeah, look, and that's a testament that we thought, okay, well, our OC is going to be good. And then this year happened, and you thought the OC was bad. What Mike is telling you is Zach Robinson is the new OC in Tampa, if you've not been keeping up with it. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We're talking about where the Falcons are. Bijan Robinson, we got to give some love. Named a finalist for the AP Offensive Player of the Year. We mentioned this earlier. James Pierce Jr. and Xavier Watts named finalists for the AP Defensive Rookie of the Year. Man, congratulations, fellas, because this helps us, Mike, when we talk about having the star power, the name brands. Look, James and Xavier are just starting. but this can only go up, right? This can only get better for those young studs on defense. And we know Bijan has already been recognized around the league for what he's capable of. He hasn't even hit his ceiling. He's not even close. Mm. He is just now starting to creep into his prime, which is probably going to last, Mike, 5, 6, 7 years. Kid's in immaculate shape. He loves the game. He loves playing. He's not a screw-off. He is going to be good for a long time, God willing. So I just feel like this is the start of people starting to really recognize faces, names,
right,
and numbers when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons.
And he's only going to get more totes, you know, with Stefanski. I know that the guys love Algier. We all love Tyler. It just seems like, again, he can make more money elsewhere. He'll be getting more reps elsewhere. Be the man somewhere, perhaps. So that's tough. Pitts, we talked about. Where's Pitts going to go? Will they retain him? Can't make that decision. I wonder how Ryan feels about Pitts deep down inside.
Well, I'm sure Matt's got an opinion already.
Exactly.
I'm sure he does.
Right. But then getting back to, you know, what we're going to do in this future.
But Mike,
Jalen Walker, remember Jalen Walker, he was banged up to start the season. You're not even close to getting to his ceiling. And Pierce has just shown you he's one of the best edge rushers in the league right now.
Yeah, I was just going to say the Pitts thing. Even if you like him, here's the reality where Matt is, and now Coach Stefanski. Even if you like him, and even if Coach thinks he can work in everything that I want to do with this multi-scheme thing, there's a cost associated with it now. And it's not about whether you like him. It's, are you willing to go and pay that cost that's associated with retaining Kyle Pitts?
And Drake's going to have to get a contract. Drake will be maybe the new guy to reset the market of wide receiver in the league. So that ain't going to be cheap, Carl. No. We're in middle of the road cap space before we start making moves.
All right, man. Coming up, Mike Griffin from Dog Nation is going to join us. With the Dogs retaining much of their roster from the past season, are you ready to quote and say they are going to be number one, but more importantly, win a national championship next year? It's Dukes and Bell. Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Just to be this guy for one day.
I know, man. I agree. Nah.
Yo, remember we talked about this in Guy Talk last summer?
How would it feel?
He's given up sex for like a year. I mean, yeah, that guy.
How would it feel to just walk out on stage and hit that riff?
Right.
Nah. You got to work out in leather pants, though. Are you okay with that,
yeah.
Carl?
Oh, hell yeah.
Man, look, I'm still mad at that cover he put out there.
Right.
Was it Men's Fitness or whatever it was? And they were like, here Lenny Kravitz is at 50. I'm like, what?
The video for that is one of my faves, too, with the flying V.
Oh,
everybody on like that. Yeah, man, it's tight. It's tight. Good music, Oren. Good job.
All right, let's talk to our man Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. Follow him, AJC.com as well. College football season, man. It's been crazy. The portal and all that has happened. Dogs retain most of their guys. And I want to start there because we talked about retention last week with you, Mike. But with that said, you know, where do you have the Dogs right now when we start talking about top 5, top 10 next season to start the season? I do not have Alabama in my top 10, and I caught a lot of flack yesterday with people saying, I don't understand that. How could you not have Alabama? I don't believe they're going to be there to start the season, but talk to me about Georgia. Top 5, top 3, or are they number 1?
Yeah, you know, I'd put them somewhere in the top 5 probably. I mean, I guess we'll see how it works out at receiver. I mean, you got a lot to replace there. You know, Zachariah Branch was, you know, he's a difference maker. I don't know if this cat out of Georgia Tech is that. The defense should be better. You know, they answered some questions there at safety and with an edge rusher and bring a lot of guys back, a lot of steam. You know, maybe the secondary in college football. You know, defensive front, you're losing Christian Miller. I mean, he was awful good, you know, but you'd like to think, you know, Elijah Griffin's going to step up and be capable even more. Thought he flashed as a freshman. Offensive line, you know, losing Monroe Freeling late. I mean, geez, that stinks, but he is a projected first rounder. So now you're replacing two starters. Offensive line, a lot of depth there. Kind of like that. Gunnar Stockton, no longer a first-year starting quarterback, right? So he's got some experience beneath him. And then, you know, what do you get out of your backfield with Nate Frazier and Chauncey Bowens? I mean, are these guys great or are they just good? You know, so I guess my question would be, does Georgia have enough on offense? Are they explosive enough? Do we believe Gunnar Stockton takes another marked step up for Georgia to not just win 10 or 11 games or the SEC, because apparently that doesn't mean anything to anybody, but now it's turned into, can they win a national championship? You know, championship or bust, right? And, you know, that's a good question. We, you know, remains to be seen.
Mike Griffith with us, guys, from a Dog Nation in the AJC. I know we talked about it last Friday on the show about, you know, you were saying, look, Kirby is building it sort of like the old school way in this new era of college ball. And for Georgia fans who've now been totally spoiled and the bar has been raised to maybe, you know, unrealistic expectations, is Kirby going to be able, to your point, to get back up there? You know, and because now the Big Ten has kind of shown the business model. You know, Michigan didn't have as many transfers as Indiana, but guys are paying guys to stick around.
Yeah, except for Justice Haynes, it's going to Georgia Tech and not Georgia. Boy, that'd have been a good one for Georgia to get.
You know,
that's tough. They missed on that guy. They missed on that guy twice. That's a difference maker, right? That's a difference maker. I don't know if Canyon the receiver is. I just don't know if Georgia has. You know, remember when they used to have elite guys? Remember DeAndre Swift and George Pickens and Brock Bowers?
They're only the NFL
guys that used to start. Yeah, I don't think Colby Young's. Yeah, I don't think Colby Young's going to be starting on anybody's fan. I don't even know if he's going to make a roster, much less start on a fantasy football team. You know, and Dylan Bell. I mean, who are these guys? The Senior Bowl doesn't even want them. So, and can you get some elite playmakers that are difference makers? And you know, you guys asked me this question last week. I'm going to say it again. I mean, Carson Beck, you know, is 42 yards away from Miami winning the national title. Would we have sat here and said, oh, wow, ACC is the best conference? No, we wouldn't have. And let's just stop with all the Indiana smoke. You know, if they don't have the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, they ain't winning. You send Mendoza to Georgia, I think Georgia wins the national title. You know, it's not that complicated. When you have the best quarterback in college football, it makes a difference whether you're playing with a bunch of transfers or whether you're not. And to me, that's what the national championship came down to, and it's why Georgia didn't advance. Trinity Chambliss got it done. Gunnar Stockton didn't.
Let me ask you, Mike, because our buddies who cover recruiting and all that like you say that apparently Mendoza was recruited by Georgia. Obviously, he didn't choose to go there. But here's my question. Is Kirby missing out on these guys? Is he missing out on some? Because I keep hearing, hey, he went there. He was Georgia had him in. He visited. And I'm like, well, is he missing out on the guys that he should be getting? Because if you feel like, okay, how the hell does a kid like Mendoza leave Georgia and then goes to Indiana and does what he does, you feel like we're missing something here.
Yeah, Caleb Williams too, right? I mean, you try to get Caleb Williams too, and he said, no thanks, I'll go to USC. You know, Stetson Bennett's like, okay, I guess I'll stick around another year. Guess you guys really need me now, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you know, you're not winning somebody's recruiting back. Caleb Downs, right? How does Caleb Downs, how does he get out of state and ends up at Ohio State? What if you got him?
Right.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, sometimes it comes down to getting those elite guys. You don't want to think that, you know, when you talk to Georgia fans and look, Kirby Smart's, I think he's a really good coach, but from a talent standpoint, I mean, look at Georgia's draft class this year. I mean, it's not what it was. It ain't 21 and 22. You don't have an overabundance. You don't have 15 NFL picks. You know, you don't have that anymore. And you don't have the margin for error. And, you know, you look, oh, yeah, Georgia's 7-1 in the SEC. Well, you had to come from behind to win six of them. You know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, Tennessee. They kick a 41-yard field goal, it's a different story. Auburn doesn't fumble at the 1-yard line, different story. DJ Lagway picks up a yard and a half in the fourth quarter, you probably lose to Florida. You know, Josh McCray doesn't pick up a 2-yard fourth down against Ole Miss, you probably lose at home. There were so many games Georgia could have lost, but one, how many fourth downs Kirby had to go for? I mean, yeah, Georgia's a back-to-back SEC champion, but by the skin of their teeth. So, you know, there's nothing's a given, nothing's entitled, nothing's promised. Next year, it's going to be a battle. The SEC is deep. There's a lot of parity. And Yellow's four-quarter games, when Kirby lost to Ole Miss, Sugar Bowl, he said, hey, guys, just like every SEC game. I mean, heck, for that matter, I mean, you know, Georgia Tech and Georgia put a sweep for four quarters in Mercedes-Benz. That wasn't a blowout.
No, strange
been,
game.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, it was an ugly game. They basically took the ball out of the quarterback's hands. They made Gunnar Stockton almost look like Haynes King. You know, it was. There were some strange decisions this year. And Mike Griffith, guys, joined us from Dog Nation. More on the Falcons and the new coach and some Hawks talk too before we jet at 6 here on Dukes and Bell. But, Mike, you know, you said it. You know, Trinidad Chambliss, you had a rock star on the other side of the ball. And no disrespect to Gunnar, but the X factor mattered in that game, in addition to some of those screwy coaching decisions.
Can't help but throw the sidebar out there, doing a story on Mike McDonald. Hey, you know Atlanta could have hired him? Had to get that out there.
Oh,
had
yes.
To get that out there.
We're familiar.
Jeez, oh, good grief, almighty. But, no, to your point, I mean, look, Trinidad Chambliss, and here's the thing, I believe, every year there's going to be a Trinidad Chambliss. Every year there's going to be a Fernando Mendoza. Every year Georgia's going to be up against this. You know, I did a conference call with some Georgia people earlier today, and they're like, well, wait a minute. You took Georgia in the over. You told us they looked great coming off the bus. They did finish with the over. They did look great getting off the bus, but they weren't the best. They never were the best. We always wondered, if push comes to shove. And listen, I'm not down on Gunnar Stockman. The guy finished in the top 10 in the Heisman ring. He had one hell of a season, guys. I mean, he's tough and gritty and all that good stuff. But when push comes to shove, are you going to win a shootout with this guy? When push comes to shove, when we get into the final eight or the final four of the college football playoffs, is Gunnar Stockton going to do enough for you? And if he's not, which we said, oh, he doesn't have to be. They just need to run the ball. And, okay, well, do they? Because I don't think your running backs are good enough for that. I don't think your wide receivers are good enough for that. I don't, you know, Ladd McConkey, Brock Bowers, Pickens, they're not coming out of that tunnel, guys. Who's going to get it? Who's going to get open for Gunnar Stockton to throw it to in the back of the end zone? Oscar Delp? Oscar Delp can't get open. That's why he's not in the Senior Bowl. He's not a first, second, or third rounder. Somebody better tell him that, too. But my point is, who's going to get it done? Who are the guys getting open? Who are the guys breaking tackles? I'm not seeing them.
Brock Bowers is not coming through that tunnel.
Good point.
Mike Griffith, before we let you go, let me ask you, what do you want fixed this offseason? We will have plenty of discussions about college football. There will be plenty of meetings. We'll have the SEC coaches meetings down on the beach. We'll have SEC media days and all the things in the summer leading up to another crazy year. But some things need to be addressed. If you were in charge, what is it that you want to see fixed?
I mean, well, where do you start, right? You need, first of all, you need a commissioner, and you need some enforceable rules, okay? You know, there's a big pen BS.
Let me ask you, is Sankey interested in doing that? Would he be the guy?
I don't know if he's interested. I don't even know if there's a model for it. You know, I mean, him and the Big Ten can't. Right. You know, the Big Ten is, you know, they pull his BS on college football. You know, this is the league that wanted to cancel college football in 2020, by the way, and change their rules midseason so Ohio State could get in the playoff. But the Big Ten says, well, we're not going to the playoff until you go to a 9-game schedule. SEC says, okay, here's a 9-game schedule. Big Ten says, well, now we're not going to do it unless you agree. You know, I don't want to use the letter before Big Ten, but that's how I feel about him right now. I'm getting a little tired of the Big Ten. I mean, in this potato, I don't know. This guy changing things up. You know, you go to 9 games, we'll go with your playoff. Well, now it's now you got to agree to a 2014 playoff for us to agree. It's not cool. It's not good. It's unbelievably bad. The level of disorganization for the second most popular sport in America, it's terrible. It's disgraceful. The portal dealings. A kid signs a contract. Oh, well, you know, doesn't have to abide by it. Doesn't stand up. What do you mean it doesn't stand up in court? I can enforce my neighbor's kid to mow my lawn if I pay him $40, but we can't get these kids to stay where they say they're going to stay when they get paid money. What's going on? I mean, what kind of a, you know, crazy court system do we got that contracts aren't enforceable? I mean, it's lunacy.
Right. No, I said it last week. I said it's pretty simple. If it's in black and white, that's it. End of story. Same thing goes for Mensa with Duke and Miami. You're right. Brother, are we looking
at this? Yeah. And don't we got this guy now? Isn't there some guy that's been playing G League basketball for 2 years that's trying to play in the SEC? What?
We played the soundbite of Calipari explaining how the system's broken. Well, again, if you're looking for leadership, there ain't none. None.
That's it. That's what I want. That's what I want fixed. Right. I want some semblance of leadership. You can say, well, you know, it's the NCAA's fault. Okay, well, that's fine. But let's talk about fixing. Let's not talk about, you know, the guy that hired Nick Saban at LSU and ran NCAA for however many years. I don't know how many secondary violations in Alabama. That's a whole other discussion there. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the fix. What is the – is it politics? Do we need politicians involved? Oh, boy, this
– good luck with that.
That'll be a doozy.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's – do we need the courts involved? Yeah, good luck with that one, too. You've been reading the headlines lately? I mean, you know, heck, you see the President of the United States throwing his name in the hat. Oh, boy, that's not divisive. So who is going to fix this thing? Somebody, please. Can we have some? Jimmy Sexton? Does he make enough money? Maybe we'll have him. I mean, he already runs college football. He's the agent for all these guys on ESPN that represent all these guys that they're talking about. And what do you know? They agree with everybody that's represented by the same agent. I mean, who's in charge here? Let's just make Sexton in charge of college football. He kind of already is.
Yeah, it's a great point. We got to run. I guess we're going to have that chat throughout the course of the offseason and see what gets addressed.
Can we just talk about Georgia? The football stuff just gets me. Can we just talk about Georgia basketball being ranked sixth? Just something nice and easy, just a happy story. Everybody, right. Oh yeah, Mike White, he's doing a good job. Hooray. You know, something easy like that. But college football, this has been hit with a meteor over the last 4 years.
Right. Mike, it is. Mike Griffith, thanks so much, man. We got to run. Appreciate you. Hey, be safe in the storm, all right?
Thank you too.
All right, brother. We got some news, and we'll tell you about it when we come back. Boy, the guys the Browns were interested in, well, they both have jobs. We'll fill you in on the latest hire in the NFL when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Some jobs look and feel better than others. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons have made, well, some hires. The general manager hire is still yet to be done. But, Mike, we do have some breaking news around the NFL. And we told you guys on our pre-show today, it's called Behind the Curtain. You can check it out on social media, that this news continues to break every day because there's so many jobs open. Does this news surprise you, though?
Yeah, Jesse Minter with the Ravens, there was a story that popped about, a week or 10 days ago?
Yep.
Saying that they liked him. And there was a connection there. And, you know, you say sometimes, whether you're an assistant briefly or you just, how you know the 6 degrees of this or that. But it's interesting. What I found interesting is he had offers from the Browns and the Raiders, or there was interest from the Browns and the Raiders. And he went, obviously, with I'll take the guys who are two-time MVP versus a team that doesn't have a quarterback and a team which may have Shador Sanders as their starter.
Yeah, it is. Look, I think it's a good choice for him. Young dude. He was with the Chargers, so again, he comes from one hardball and taking over for another, but at the end of the day, this was Eric DaCosta, who's the general manager there with the Ravens. This was his decision, and so the Ravens have their guy. We know Harbaugh's off the board. Duh. Kevin Stefanski's with us. He's with us. Dolphins have Jeff Hadley.
Like it or not, he's with us.
And the Titans have hired Robert Saleh. That leaves the Bills, Steelers, Browns, Cardinals, and Raiders still yet to hire a head coach. Yeah. And by the way, now this also opens up a defensive coordinator's job with the Chargers. Just saying.
Right. I mean, it's a continuous merry-go-round. The Raiders, are they going to have Mendoza as their number one? Is Kubiak going to hold out for the Raiders and Tom Brady? Is that something? Is that even a thing? Is Kubiak even going to get hired? You know, as much as I've been banging the drum for Kubiak, maybe he doesn't impress people, you know? Maybe there's somebody's already got a side deal worked out with Kubiak that will be announced after Seattle season's over.
Can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Is Jesse Minter going to be able to get Lamar's attention like he needs to?
Harbaugh, you know what? It's a great point. Familiarity breeds Mike. Contempt. Don't know unless you bring in a young, maybe whoever is who's his OC. Bring the OC and the OC and Lamar. You gotta bank your career in Baltimore on how you get that OC right with Lamar.
He was not vibing with what was going on there. Well, and now you're telling me that maybe he will, but I'm just saying, like, that's the biggest challenge because ultimately. Harbaugh was willing to get fired, Mike, because of his defense of Monken. But what we know is there was some dysfunction that was going on there. And you just wonder how much was on Lamar. How much was on Lamar? And then if a lot fell on his shoulders, now you're asking this young Jesse Minter to come in and grab his attention and make sure that he is on the same. Because if he's not on the same page, it's not going to work.
Right.
It doesn't matter whatever happens. If Lamar is not on the same page, he'll miss games, Mike. They'll be back in this 500 realm, and he'll have flashes of greatness, but it's not going to be what it should.
Right. I mean, you could argue that someday the book will be written. Maybe the guy, the columnist who wrote the article, which got everything going bananas up there in Baltimore, that Harbaugh was disconnected from Lamar, that Baltimore's got to trade Lamar because there's a ceiling with Lamar. Then we find out that Monken wasn't talking. Then Monken says, no, it was me.
Yeah.
It's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me. And what was Harbaugh's culpability in that? But you're right. You know, Minter comes in. And that's got, if I'm Biscotti, which is a great cookie, by the way, owns the Ravens, really, you know, I got to say, you know, we got to get, look, all this stuff. Who's your – that'd be the first question I'd ask. I love, you know, why, you know, you're going defense. Surprised it wasn't an offensive coordinator.
Me too.
Getting that gig.
The Ravens put out this, Steve Piscotty, speaking of him, Jesse was impressive throughout our incredible process. He clearly understands the values, high expectations, and the history of the Ravens. I don't know if it sounds that way, but feels this way. And he has a great vision for the future. Jesse's football acumen is outstanding. And that's been proven by the impact he's made throughout his entire coaching career. Okay. It goes on and on and on. Point is, they really like him and they hire him. Great. Here's what's interesting for everybody who wants to jump on Stefanski and poo-poo this.
And he was with the Ravens 17-19.
Correct. With the other Harbaugh.
Right.
Browns, what are the Browns going to do? You got coaches turning them down. Why, Mike? Why?
I got a coach for the Browns.
Who?
Raheem Morris.
Is that what we're going to do? We're going to get him, like, and he's going up there?
There was a couple in my neighborhood. It's pretty scandalous.
Get off the grass.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you that story with a couple?
Got to find a way.
I told that story with a couple in my neighborhood. They met because each other's spouse was cheating on each other's spouse.
No.
And they actually met. And through hook or crook, that, like, oh, your husband's cheating with me, with my you know, blah.
And they hooked up.
And they're happily married.
Yeah.
And that would be the equivalent of that. Raheem would go to Cleveland. We'll take Stefanski. By the way, the Bucs got Zach Robinson. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
And he's hopping. And everyone says, oh, I had one guy on Twitter today. Oh, I got two guys highly motivated. It's the NFL. They're all highly motivated. You know? But that'll be interesting, though, when we play Zach and Baker. But you're right. But the Browns, why? So if the Browns are such a great organization, why is nobody taking the job?
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm saying. You had Mentor who could have gone there and was like, nah, I'm good.
Mike McDaniel turn them down?
He goes to the Chargers. Right. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to go be an OC instead. Wait. You could be the head coach here. Don't run out. Yeah, hey. We got money.
You know what? Cam Newton, you know, you're barking up, throwing this nonsense out there, playing to the lowest common denominator on a podcast about this. Why don't you go coach Shador? Oh, you go, Cam. Throw your hat in the ring, Cam.
That's egregious.
Yeah, Cam, you go be a coach, Cam. You tell everybody else how to run their lives. You go be a coach now. Bring Ryan Clark with you.
These has-beens.
But I'm bitter. But I'm mad.
Make for some great press conferences, I'll tell you.
It really would. All right.
By the way.
That's egregious.
Yeah.
Falcons completed an interview with Andy Weidel, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, Weidel, who's been with the Steelers for a number of years. Do you look at the Steelers as great in the trenches, but just so missed so much on skill positions,
well,
I should say?
I'll say this. I do like, and I like, I don't know if this is part of this process, but the guys that they're interviewing, for the most part, Mike, all have come from these general manager front office trees that have had really good success in the league. And the main thing is, it doesn't mean that that guy comes here and that translates. What it means, though, is, Mike, they understand the culture part of this. And I think as Matt comes in and he's trying to build that, being a player and a leader on a football team is one thing. Matt's done that. Being in the front office and how you set the tone for the organization and the culture for the football side of it is another. It takes more than just one guy. It's got to be everybody on the same page. And so when you start talking about these GM potentials that they brought in, I do like that. You talk about the Steelers. I don't know how good he is, but he knows what the culture is supposed to look like, right? You start talking about, you know, like Ian Cunningham. We keep bringing his name up.
Right.
I don't know how good he is, but he knows what the culture should look like. And by the way, while he was with the Eagles, you know, was there some dysfunction there? I want to see some guys that have had to go through some adversity too, Mike, when you talk about these GM jobs. It's not been cake, you know, the whole ride. And, you know, like, that's why I like the Chiefs thing. Chiefs have been good for a decade since Patrick Mahomes got there. Have they really had to go through it? Okay, they let Cheetah go. Whoop-de-doo. That wasn't a hard decision. You didn't want to pay him all that money. I just feel like somebody that's been through a little bit, but also comes from one of these organizations that understands what it's supposed to look like.
Right. So now we'll wait and see. The Raiders, I wonder, do you buy that? Maybe Kubiak is interested in the Raiders because of the clean slate? You're maybe getting a quarterback that you can do all sorts of things with.
First pick.
Again, if you believe it. Now, I think that Fernando Mendoza, I think I mentioned the other day, I saw somebody comped him to Kurt Warner.
Yes.
I kind of like that comp. I mean,
saying he's waiting? You're saying Clint?
I don't know. Or Kubiak's already worked something out? There's a reason. Look, Matt went with Stefanski because if he didn't, the Titans were going to swoop up and get him. They went with Salah, to your point. They wanted experience. They didn't want to roll the dice with a first-timer. What makes it so hard, as we know, is the record in Cleveland and how much is his fault, how much is the franchise. Well, if the Cleveland Browns, and this is musical chairs, and they're the last guy standing, you're going to know that everybody else around the league's got dropped a dime on Cleveland.
And they don't want to be there.
They don't want to be there.
Yep. They don't want to be there.
And so, but that means nothing unless Stefanski fixes our stuff. You know, we still got to get Penix to be the best Penix he can be, and whatever that's going to look like. You know, and like, I got to be honest, I'm not compelled by Tommy Rees. Hope I'm wrong. Hope I'm very wrong.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, I just want accountability. My thing is who's in charge of running this part of what needs to be happening, which is the improvement of our offense and the quarterback. Who else did we just finished another interview? I say we as in the Falcons.
Yes, Andy, is it Weedle? Is that
how
he says
that? Okay. Yeah. Him?
Yep. Okay. So
they just completed.
So what is that, three today? Two
more? Two today that they completed and one that they've requested.
Assistant GM. Joe Douglas is the next one, the former Jets GM, right? Yeah. We talked to the assistant GM who played for Tech. Is it Whispert? Is the director of college scouting, assistant GM for the Texans, and we talked about Waddle.
All right. Cool beans. All right, man. Tomorrow, by the way, we will head back to Cleveland. We are going to get more insight. We're trying to talk to people who are either close to Kevin Stefanski or close to the organization that they really know what's going on. And we're just giving you the facts, man. And then you can run with it. We'll head back up there. We'll talk to our man B-Mac to talk about the AFC-NFC championship games. We will also break those games down tomorrow because it's this weekend and then it's Super Bowl. And then the NFL season is done. So We got two games this weekend. I just hope they're entertaining. The Broncos game, I'm a little reluctant just because – these games come down to quarterback play, man. And again, if Stidham shocks the world, I got to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Stidham's contract status is with Denver, but if he actually pulls this off and doesn't like shoot himself in the foot in the Super Bowl, then go name your price, son. Yeah,
correct.
Because somebody will throw money at him. I saw that guy's talking about that. Meanwhile, real quick, before I was going to throw this in to clear my throat, but it's a visual, so I got to explain it.
Yeah.
Somebody put out, have you seen the press conference down in Miami with John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley?
No.
They look like identical twins. They've got very similar haircuts. It's like the facial structure guys are like, what? Really? And then meanwhile, somebody took a video of Bean and Pegula, and they put the Dumb and Dumber tuxedos on them.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Because that's how I feel right now.
Have you seen it, Oren?
That's how I feel.
It's pretty funny.
What happened?
Oren's looking at the GM, John Eric Sullivan and Hafley.
Oh.
This is a phenomenon in Midtown. People that would date people that look just like them. Yeah, when I lived in my old building, we had these guys. We joke around, women, men, they literally love themselves. They literally date the carbon copy, slightly younger, slightly older of themselves.
It's like the high and tight haircut. One's wearing a tie, one's not wearing a tie, but they both have on blue-ish blazers and white shirts. And one's a little bit taller than the other one. That's it.
Yeah. That's the new Dolphins.
Exactly the same.
The new Dolphins front office, general manager and head coach. All right, man, we got to get out of here. Chris is coming up. He's got a full four tonight.
Yeah.
Right, stay tuned. Turtles got you covered, man. Let's get out of the way and clear our throat. All right. Hey, man. Look, Mike and I have been saying this because tomorrow's Friday, and Friday will be fine. It's the weekend. But if you haven't got whatever you need, get it. All right? So you're safe and everybody's good. They're just telling you. And then if it's nothing, it's nothing. And then you eat like fat rats and enjoy football and don't worry about it. Hey. But if it is something, then you're squared away.
You
okay?
Got to go to the Super Bowl party. Just make it fun stuff.
All right. Big O, great job as always behind the glass. Also, our man Day-Day, executive producing. We're back at you guys tomorrow at 2. Check out the pre-show around 11:15, somewhere around there. Yeah, it fluctuates every now and then. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Yeah, boy. How about Jalen Johnson? I don't know what that was. Those, some of those games on the West Coast, whatever that was. Like the Monstar stole his ability. He looked timid. He didn't look decisive. Nothing was dropping. And then last night against Memphis, he looked good. Jalen Johnson got in the groove. Even Kennard was making a shot. See that?
I did.
Yeah. So that's cool. More of that, man. By the way, that McCollum, I wish I was born tall with a jump shot. He can't pass, and he doesn't play a lot of defense. But we got him until his contract's up. But the rest of it, that was good to see Jalen Johnson because it's now his team, and it all stirs. He stirs the drink. He's got to be on. He was on last night.
I'll stay hoops. Rich Paul apparently has said he wants the Mavericks to trade Anthony Davis by next week. Okay. Remember the Hawks apparently were linked to that.
You're going to trade him to a team in Greece?
A few weeks ago. All right, let's keep an eye out.
No. Go get Jaren Jackson if you want to get a guy.
I agree. NBA trade deadline is February 5th. But Rich Paul, who's the agent of Anthony Davis, has said he wants the Mavs to trade him by next week. All right, so we'll see where that goes.
Be a bidding war between Emory and Piedmont Orthopedics.
If you love the show.
Tell your friends.
if you don't,
you're stuck in the living hell that is Juniper Street. You know
the needs of the many outweigh
the needs of the few
or the one.